You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Say that three times fast. Go ahead and get a piece of paper and something to write with, because in a few minutes I'm going to give you two phone numbers. One will be a worldwide number. That means literally worldwide, except United States and Canada, and they share a number for you to call in and ask questions, comment, argue with me, agree with me, whatever, for the rest of the hour. We'll be on until about 59 after. We'll be on for an hour, uninterrupted, no commercials, just me, and you make it bored if it's just me. So call and talk to me. We invite you to call in anytime and often, as we share this next hour. I don't have a guest tonight on purpose. I wanted to give you folks an opportunity to call in tonight. I do psychic readings. I use a tarot card sometimes. Sometimes I don't, because we don't always have time on the air. But we've had a lot of guests lately. We had a lady scheduled, a repeat guest that everybody loved for last week, Allie Theus, and she wasn't able to join us. We couldn't get a hold of her. We've got that problem taken care of. We had hoped to have her rescheduled for this week, the week I had slotted for readings, but she wasn't able to. So it's just me. But we will. She is scheduled for October. Now, next week, we're going to have Melissa Alvarez. She's been with us before. She has she's a publisher and a writer. She was on with, I've forgotten her book name, but I will find it for you, because it was, I've read it and it's a fun. She has, The Phoenix Guide to Self-Renewal. She's an award-winning author, graphic artist, website designer, and renowned clairvoyant advisor. She formed in 2000. She formed New Age Dimensions to self-publish her book, the Phoenix Guide to Self Renewal. Anyway, be with us. It will be fun. What are we going to talk about? I'm not quite sure. We'll just do all kinds of things, because she has four children and she's raising horses and she's writing books and she's just doing all kinds of things. In the meantime, you can check her out on the usual HTTP. Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Alvarez.com. Also, the HTTP thing with capital, P-A-R-A-F-M.com. You can check on that. We're going to talk a little bit, I think, next week about getting started, self-publishing, owning your own press, kicking, that kind of thing, because she's so into that right now, as well as her psychic work, which is really good. She does operate presently New Age Dimensions, which is a small press of her own. So that's next week. But this week, we're going to talk about harvesting. I know, maybe a little early yet, but I got to thinking about it. I live in Central Texas, and when I went outside this morning at 7 o'clock to feed the birds and give them fresh water, there was actually a chill in the air. Now, I know it's from the fringes of the last hurricane that we had. I think that one's completely died out, but it left Central Texas with just a little bit of early fall. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't 90 degrees outside by noon, but it was a nice, fresh face. We usually don't have this kind of weather, in Austin anyway, until around Halloween. I can remember as a kid, Halloween night would be the first night we would really need to put a sweater on. And, you know, we're chickens here, so if it's 70 degrees, we need a sweater. Just kidding. Let me give you those phone numbers. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Canada and the United States, you share 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Canada, 1-888-228-4494. That number is just fun to say for me. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. I've just given you two phone numbers, and I would love to have you call in anytime for the next hour. This is uninterrupted, so it's just me. Unless you want to hear another voice, it's just me. And I would love to have your questions. This was a week that I had slotted for people to call in to have questions answered, of course, free. What I call through the psychic back door. But in the meantime, going to start the evening off, and yes, we will talk about tarot cards tonight and how they play into our subject with just harvesting. Of course, for you folks that listen every now and then, you know that I quote from a book called Book of Answers, Volume 1. The Ultimate Oracle is You, written by Manny, M-A-N-I, Pure Heart. Oh, and he is such a sweetheart. M-A-N-I, Pure, P-U-R-E-H-E-A-R-T. I always have the hardest time finding his website, but I will get his website for you, the name of the address of his website. It has an interest. You would think I would have it memorized by now, wouldn't you? Because he has other books going right now, and he sometimes put excerpts, I never can say that word right, on his website. But we're going to talk about harvesting, and I want to read what he has written about harvesting, and I just lost my page. But I will find it in a moment. Page 199. He's written essays, channeled, perhaps, although he has such wisdom of his own. And they're just short essays. And then at like two or three pages. And then at the end of it, there is a comment from Spirit on each one of them. And this one about harvest, after all the work, after all the planning, the tilling, the planting, the nurturing, and the weeding, after all of the tending, the overseeing, the patience, the prayer, and the toil, comes the harvest. Harvest is the reason and the reward. Harvest is the incentive to return to the field one more time with hope in your heart. Harvest is the gift we give ourselves. So as we sow, so shall we reap. Does that reap? Does that sound a little bit like karma, folks? This is more than an in-the-moment fact. When we find ourselves in an extremely painful relationship, or an extremely good one, or anything in between for that matter, it is important to remember this, and he's capitalized this. All things are in divine order in all ways and at all times, whether we like it or not, and whether we understand it or not. I talked about change a little bit last week, and I couldn't help but think that I was on my way home tonight, and I thought, okay, I know what I want to talk about tonight, but harvest came to mind anyway, partially because of this morning. But change conjures up and creates a little bit of that sowing and working and tending, because we have to, it's another field, metaphorically, that now we have to work in. So as we go through changes in our lives, we actually are harvesting every single change. Okay, back to Manny. The relationship you find yourself in is both the harvest of the past and the seed of the future. Kind of says in a nutshell what I just tried to say. There is a reason for every detail of the happenings within this partnership, and that reason is always love of the highest order. If your experience seems harsh and abusive, it is because in this lifetime or another, you have been harsh or abusive to those who depended on you for nurturing and support. This experience is both a reminder and self-imposed payback for those deeds and an opportunity to realize how it feels to be on the receiving end of such treatment, so that you will determine it at a deep level never to do it again. That does not mean that it needs to continue, nor that you should tolerate or remain in an intolerable situation, nor an untenable situation. We as individuals have the right, indeed the duty, to ourselves to say when enough is enough, and that, isn't that tricky, folks? When is enough enough? How many of you out there have lived in a relationship, let's say, or been in a job, not a career, a job, or been in a career? Or had a neighbor that was just insufferable? Where do you draw the line? What does it take? Or were you taught in your religion or your culture to continually turn the cheek? So we have to figure out for ourselves how, when, and how to draw that line. Back to Manny. to say when is enough, and that we need a break from experiencing certain unpleasant lessons in our lives. It is our responsibility, and ours alone, to modify the environment as it appears to us in the moment. Once again, we find perception creates reality. What's yours? He asked. If you don't like what you're experiencing, this world invites you to change your point of view from that of a victim to that of a student. Ooh, and does our ego ever get in the way? Oh, my goodness. Good old ego. Once that is accomplished, the pain, the anger, and the distress of any situation will fall away effortlessly, as it is not happening to you, but for you. Boy, those couple of sentences are powerful. When do we stop being the victim and truly harvest the lesson? Truly harvest the lesson. And that's when we have to figure out, not only do we have to admit to ourselves that we got ourselves into this situation, and that's a biggie for a lot of people. We create our own reality. And you turn around and you say, well, I didn't ask to be murdered. Well, maybe not. I didn't ask to have a rear ender today. Maybe not, consciously. But I'm afraid I agree with Manny. We do create our own realities, whether we like it or not, and there's always a lesson to be learned. The trick is, quit repeating the lessons. But then there are depths of the lesson. Okay, we got that step. Now I go to second step. Okay, Manny says, it is possible to reap a bitter harvest only if we are bitter people. If we understand that the true intent of every experience is to assist us in understanding ourselves as creator, not man, there is absolutely no experience that will be seen as negative in itself or in the greater context. Comment from Spirit. Harvest, dear ones, can only occur when seeds are planted and attended with love, attention, and devotion. You are the seeds, you are the soil, you are the rain, and you are the sun. Each of you is a seed of myself, lovingly cast forth into the universe to grow, each in his own time and each in his own way. You have all of eternity for this growth, and there is no way to fail. Isn't that lovely? The husbandry you offer yourself is the only variable. Love yourself enough to blossom and bear fruit, and ye shall soon become the harvest, and your love and your works the fruited seed. Blessings. So we become something, and then we share it with others. How many times have you told your best friend, oh, you need to share your talent, or encouraged a student? What have you done? You're encouraging them to cast, so to speak, their own seeds. Now, I know, we often think about seeds, the seed of man. Well, yes, we're procreating, absolutely. But a seed is an idea. A seed is a number of things. So basically, what are you harvesting? Manny implied karma. What you sow, so shall you reap. It's another form of karma. But as we go through change, and I don't know how many of you listened last week, we talked about changes. We talked about growth. I've just moved. Found out recently that a very dear friend, in fact, that's where I was today, helping her pack, has decided to make a major change in her life. She's uprooting a 30-year residency in Austin, and she's moving to another city in Texas. But it's a long way away, and that means doing away with, and you all have done this, I'm sure, to some degree, it means selling, getting rid of furniture, cleaning out those closets. But can you imagine doing it in a home you've been in for over 30 years? That's a toughie. And saying goodbye to friends that you swear you will see them again. I'll be here in Austin at least once a month. No, she won't. We haven't. We didn't. We didn't go back that often. There was really no reason to go back. You get the picture. So it's major change. But when she plants herself, pardon the pun, in her new home, which actually she's going back to her family, the bulk of her living, breathing family, which is important. It's a much smaller town, But nonetheless, she's going, quote-unquote, home, even though Austin has been her home for a long time. She's going back to family. As family gathers into elderly, sometimes it's necessary for us to do that. But when she goes back, she's going to have to plant new beginnings. And with that in mind, the Tarot card of new beginnings is the Major Arcana card, the Fool card. Always, because he's Mr. Adventure. He's got a bright yellow background. He's got a little white dog, which represents your subconscious. He's traveling light. He looks a little bit like a very well-dressed vagabond with a sack on his shoulder. And he's standing on a cliff. But if we trust our subconscious, we're not going to walk off that cliff. The little dog is in a barking stance, like, don't get any closer. Don't fall off that cliff. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in new adventures. Sometimes with excitement, sometimes with fear and anxiety, that we get right to the edge. Maybe we've made a decision that isn't quite right for us, but we back up. So as she plants herself in this new place, even though it's an old place because that's where she grew up, but being a totally different person now, it's all new. Like, I stayed in Austin, but I moved to a different residence just recently. So it's all about, what are we going to harvest? What do we want? What reality do we want to create? What now is necessary for us? We're not going to be getting our things out of the same cabinets. We're not going to be parking our cars in the same places. We're not going to be, she knows this new town, old town, like the back of her hand. I know Austin by the back of my hand, but I'm not driving the same streets. It's all about what we're doing. What karma, what new karma are we creating, if you believe in karma? Karma is that those debts that you create, even if it's just a necessary smile. What reward are you looking for? Every day is a new day. You know, I don't need to preach that. Every day is a new day. But we don't always appreciate the opportunity of the new day because we don't recognize it as such. Oh, God, got to get up and go to work. Well, sure, we've got aches and pains, physically, emotionally, psychologically, mentally. But we've also got the availability of joy. You know, so what is your harvest for the day? What is the 12-step program? I've never needed it, but I've had a lot of friends that have done it. The 12-step program, you start every day as a new day. And you work on that day. And so for some folks, every hour is a new hour. So you work on that hour, and then you worry about the rest of the day as you go. Part of your harvest during your day, and we're gonna keep it daily here, is joy. Receiving kindness. How many times have you not received kindness? You thought somebody was, you misinterpreted what somebody was trying to do when they offered you, let's say, just to help you off a curb, and you maybe got offended because you don't need any help. Something simple. Accept kindness. Make a plan tomorrow to accept kindness from somebody and give kindness in return, even if it's just a smile. I have a friend that tells me she has to work daily. She has a strange sense of humor. And she has to work daily to not come across as sarcastic. It's her personality because of her sense of humor. She will try to cheer people up, and it comes across being almost tacky. Whatever your description of tacky is, sarcastic, she says. So she has to work on it. That's her gift to people, is to not be sarcastic, but to really come across as being funny. Hard work, more hard work, is that part of your harvest? Remember, you plant, you see that great corn grow out there, that cotton grow out there, whatever your harvest in a physical sense is, and then when it's harvested, you start over again. And hopefully you will learn from your last harvest, your last relationship, personal, professional, whatever, and the next fruit, the next outcome of that relationship, the next relationship will be better. But how many of us don't get it? At 64, I'm just now getting some things that I've done incorrectly in the past. Fortunately, some friends have been brave enough to talk to me about it. And I'm trying to be better. Really trying, without changing the base personality, but trying to behave in a different way and still be myself so I can be a better friend and allow others to be a friend to me. That's one harvest I'm working on. Getting settled in a new home, going to new stores, that's all part of that harvest that we do every day. Hard work. You know, they say don't work hard, work smart. Well, still got to have some word work in there. My mom used to say that if you love what you're doing, and I know you've heard it before, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work. It'll never seem like work, but it is a responsibility. You can love what you do as a living. Instead of calling it work, call it a living. How you earn your money, how you earn your keep. Doesn't matter what you do. You can exchange your service. You can clean house for somebody if they'll feed you twice a day. Still work. But if you love doing it and you enjoy the people and you enjoy the place that you clean, it doesn't seem so much like work. Sing for your supper. You've heard that term before. Sing for your supper. People really did that. And I bet they still do it today, those folks that are trying to make it in the music field. They may very well find a little club and sing for their supper so they'll know they'll get one meal a day. Years ago, 30 years ago, I had a college friend that worked 4 hours at a restaurant, and she got meals for herself and her husband in those 4 hours. And that was their food for the day. And she waited tables or swept floors or whatever they needed. No cash. Any tips that she got, she could keep, but it guaranteed 2 meals a day for both of them. So whatever it is, you know, 4 hours for her was nothing. Then she would go home and study, and everybody was at least going to bed with no growly tummy, and she was okay with that. So whatever you do, if you do it with a happy heart, so to speak, without sounding like Pollyanna, although I kind of like Pollyanna, it doesn't seem like such a burden. Money, is that your harvest? And all of us do. All of us harvest money in some form or fashion. We go to work 8 to 5 or whatever. We work our 8 to 10 to 12 hour day and we get something in exchange for it. We harvest every single day. And sometimes we get negative and sometimes we get positive in it. We might not like our work totally, but we like the outcome. We like the harvest. Is that not important? Of course it's important. In the tarot cards, the world card is there. It shows an oval wreath. And it has a figure, a female figure in the center of it, holding two wands with flames at both ends, implying that you can work, what is that term? Burning the candle at both ends. And she has her breasts are exposed, which shows vulnerability, but she has a purple wrap loosely around her body. This card says you can have the world, absolutely have the world. It has four figures, an eagle, a lion, a bull, and a man, or looks like an androgynous, a human, in each corner. And it talks about the four phases and the foundation. The number four is important. It's the foundation, that which you build on. But in this card, the world card says, if you do what you need to do, you can have the world. Well, that's another form of harvest. The death card, another form of harvest. Death waits for no one. No matter what we do, our life is going to end. We have a shelf life, pardon the pun, but we have a shelf life as a human being. Sometimes it's moments after birth, seconds after birth. Sometimes it's over 100 years. But we have a given amount of time to stay here. So on this planet, on planet Earth, in whatever society, in whatever skin, with whatever values that we've been exposed to, whatever health, whatever kind of body we're in, functioning or otherwise, we're here. We have a life. So we do the very best we can with that life. And you say, well, I'm handicapped. I don't like that word, by the way, handicapped. I'm challenged. I'm getting to where I don't like that word. And I can say that because I have a profoundly retarded son. This is a man who is now 44 years old. He will be 44 in November. He wasn't supposed to come home from the hospital. Now he has a sign language. He has a vocabulary. He has body function. He's been relatively healthy all of his life. Talk about challenged. He's challenged. But he was determined. And he has great recognition. So he's doing the best he can with what he's got. And he shows ego, and he shows pride. He shows all of the range of human emotional condition. He just isn't able to tell us about it all the time, except with his actions. So, the death card, time marches on. Time and death, I think, are intertwined, those two words. I'll let you think about that one. But this card in the Rider-Waite deck shows a whitish great horse with one hoof up like he's getting ready to stomp on the children that are nearby. Skeletal, clad in black. Black, I think, has gotten a bad rap over the years. I like black. It's a combination of all colors. So to me, it says I'll try pretty much anything at least once. But it looks like a pope standing in front of him, a religious man in full robe, regalia, with almost hands in a prayer form. But death has to do his duty. Death moves on. Now, we can look at that as the skeletal death. We can look at it as the death of a situation or circumstance where new beginnings are a given, because they are. New beginnings are always there. In this card, the two towers of wisdom are in the back, far right, with the sun coming up. A student asked me one time, how do we know that the sun is not going down? And that's a valid question for the death card, because death means things are shutting down. But in this case, it was meant to be the true and honest ray of hope and the significance of new beginnings, because another word for death card is the new beginnings. Every day is a new day. I know, there's that Pollyanna statement again. But it's true. Every day is a new day. And you say, well, what about the people who are in prison? What about the people who don't, whose every moment is guarded? Every moment is controlled. What about the people in Bangladesh and some of the other really difficult places in the world that where every day is just more of the same? I wish I had the answer for that, but I think in their own micro world, each individual's micro world, they can change. They can change, if nothing else, but their attitude. Yes, they've still got hungry tummies. Yes, all that. But there's some reason why they're there. There's some lesson they needed to learn. And I can't help but remember the Russian lady that I saw interviewed. Oh, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now. She literally lives on top of a garbage heap, on top of it, on top of a garbage heap, in tents, and has, she was amazing to me. She's lived on this garbage tent, on this garbage heap now for, something like 8 or 9 years in a very rural community. And yet she said, I'm one of the privileged ones. I have a tent. Her tent was made out of rags. It wasn't waterproof. It was basically clothes and rags that she had found and either safety pinned together or somehow sewn together or buttoned and zippered together. But she said, I'm one of the privileged ones. I have a tent. It's all where your head's at. Not only that, she had built steps to get to the top of her heap. It's all in the attitude. all in the attitude. And maybe I have to tell myself that periodically. So the death card is new beginnings. The judgment card, you know, just talked a little bit about the judgment card with this lady. It shows a red cross on a flag. Angel Raphael is bringing people, blowing his horn, and bringing people out of these floating gray boxes. Gray is the color of wisdom, knowledge, and experience. Men, women, children, floating in water. He's saying, let's look at those old issues. Get rid of them. Let's harvest something else. This is Elaine Ireland. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. Call in. I would love to have your questions tonight. I would love to do some psychic readings for you, see what Spirit has to say and to share wisdom with you, or comments, or call in and tell me how you feel about what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about harvesting. The Four of Pentacles. Pentacles represent cash or cash value, homes, cars, investments, that sort of thing. Looks like a coin with a star in the middle of it, a five-pointed star. It's being held by a man sitting on a bench of some sort. He's got a foot on, each foot is on a pentacle. He's holding a pentacle, and he has a pentacle on his head. This is one of the wealth cards. This is what you, the number four is what you build your foundation on. You have four corners of a foundation to most anything that we build, except, of course, rounds. But in this case, he says, I've got what I need. I'm fine. I'm cool with what I've got. I now can take the next step to great wealth. I'm stable now. Not only that, this card is an encouragement to share. Now, the next step up is called the Harvest card. It's the Seven of Pentacles, and it shows what looks like a gentleman leaning on a rake or a hoe, and there it looks like a garden, and there are seven pentacles growing on this bush-looking thing. He's admiring what he's put together. Now, that could be a fabulous investment portfolio, or it could be the tent on the top of the heap. We never know. But he's appreciating and enjoying the harvest that he's created. He's saying, here, I've got this. I'm going to be just fine. Now, the next one in the pentacles is the Nine of Pentacles, and she's called the Lady of Luxury card. There are nine pentacles in a big garden with what looks like bunches of grapes, and she has what looks like a falcon that she's holding. Now, in the old days, if someone owned falcons particularly, they were wealthy, because that meant that unless they knew how to handle them, well, number one, you had to get the falcon, and number two, you had to hire someone to take care of it. And it was a prestige thing, a little bit like driving, let's say, a Lexus in some societies. It used to be Cadillacs. Now it's something else. But are owning exotic animals. So this woman, I've made it. I've made it. What I think is interesting is that the designers of the card made this a woman, because most men controlled wealth. But what they were saying, I believe, is that everyone is capable of having wealth. Why shouldn't a woman? And we all know that behind the scenes, maybe we don't all know, but behind the scenes, often, even in our society, a woman's head is respected. Her brains, her attitudes, her aptitudes are respected in the world of money. It's getting better. Not so many glass ceilings. It's getting better. So this card says, I've made it, and nine is a completion number. What next? What are we going to start next? I've finished this level. What next? The Ten of Pentacles, that's in the form of the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life. The ten pentacles on this create that form. And it has an archway, and it has three generations. It has children, it has dogs, it has the wise, white-haired, white-bearded man sitting down with a younger couple. Everybody's there. So we've taken that Nine of Pentacles and we've moved it into the Ten of Pentacles, which involves everyone. Now we have the business of family, or the family business. The family business is how you provide your dwelling, your food. The business of family in today's society is making sure the tires get rotated, the groceries get purchased, and the kids get taken to the doctor on time. Whatever else makes your home run, whether you pay someone like the Falconer to help you, the maid, the cook, the chef, the gardener, the pool guy, whether they live on grounds or whether you hire them, or you do it yourself. You now have the funds to take care of your family. Now, this can be somebody who's living on $800 a month and raising four kids. Yes, I've seen people do it. It's hard, but that's their family. And maybe they keep homes for other people. Maybe they're day laborers, but they do it. Okay, now, skipping suits, the Ten of Cups. The Ten of Cups is called a rainbow card, and it shows what looks like a man and a woman and a boy and a girl. Happy little family. I think it's interesting that there are only four figures. There's that number four, the foundation. But it has ten cups in a rainbow. Happy, happy, happy. This is obviously a happiness card. Now, I think it's important for harvesting, the theme of harvesting, because we don't all get to have that happy home. We don't always get to have the loving parents. Maybe it's a parent, and that's fine, but it's still a family. Maybe we don't have any more blood family. Maybe it's our family of choice, our church folks, our good friends, our neighbors, our best friend that we've known since whenever. But it's still a family. And we have harvested that because we've put time, love, energy, maybe money, whatever. I sometimes work at my church occasionally. So it's our time and devotion that helps to create whatever family. There's that word create, our perception. What are we creating for ourselves? So this falls under harvesting as well, this loving energy. Four of Wands. There's that four again, foundation. This shows a man and a woman with laurels on their heads, and it looks like they've got flowers in their arms, and they're waving, and they're standing in front of what looks like a village with castle points, and four wands. Wands represent how we bring our income in. You can be a trust fund baby, or you can have an 8-to-5, you can work five, whatever. Method doesn't matter. It's simply the fact that it happens. And with this card, it shows, it's such a simple meaning. You have four wands, and then all four of them are tied together with what looks like a bunch of flowers and wreaths that you would sling over your door at Christmas time. It's not a round wreath. It just ties all four of them together. Harvest, because it's new growth and things that are growing. So you've worked hard to get to this point. This card says, I not only am doing well at my job, I like it. Maybe I like everybody I work with. How cool would that be? When you can have it all. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, this card says that. And what's interesting is that the little village behind it is gray, which is wisdom, knowledge, and experience. And the cone, or the shape, the pointed shape, the roof, I'll get it out in a minute, are red. And red is active energy. I call it the kick in the butt color. Let's go. Let's get it done. A hint out there, if you're dragging out some morning, let's say, having a hard time, put your red undies on. or anything red. If you like wearing red on the outside, do it. If you don't think you're attractive in red, then put the red undies on. Or get a little piece of red felt and put it in your pocket. Carry red with you. It's a very vibrant color. And you will pick up that energy. So for some reason, the artist, Patricia Waite, the creator of this deck, decided that in this particular card, the caps of the roofs should be red. Active energy. We've got it all going with this card. Those are the ones that I think are the most prevalent in the tarot cards for the word harvest and bringing things together. If there are others that you would like to discuss, by all means, call me. I would love to hear your voice. This is Elaine Ireland, and we're going global for spirit on VBSRadio.com. Worldwide, please call 877-489-6350. Canada and the United States, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. To catch you up, last week we talked about change because my guest wasn't able to join us. And this week we're talking about the harvest of those changes, simply because we had crisp air this morning. Isn't that a silly reason, but it was still fun. Next week we'll have Melissa Alvarez, publisher and writer. You can find her let me turn my page here so I can get it right. Melissa Alvarez, ALVEREZ.com, HTTP, MelissaAlvarez.com if you would like to check her out. Also, the same thing, A Psychic Haven, APSYCHIN Haven, HAVEN.com, or PARAFM, all caps, .com. I'm excited about visiting with her. She has a lot to share in terms of publishing and her psychic work and the Phoenix Guide to Self-Renewal, which since we're on harvesting this week, this will be fun to talk to her next week about renewal. And then the next week, Kate Brown, we're going to talk about equinoxes and fall changes as we're going through. So I'm kind of jumping the gun here with our talk about harvest. And then Allie, who was supposed to be with me last week, will be on October the 2nd. We're going to call it the Magic Hour. I think she would spell that probably M-A-J-I-C. She's just a wealth of knowledge. I hope you will join us for those future guests. Everybody loves to hear Kate. She's always got so much to say about equinoxes and solars and solar flares. And she's not really an astrologer, but she's into all this change business. Somewhere, speaking of astrologers, somewhere in here, I think it's in October. I can't find it. Kramer Wetzel will be back with us about astrology. We had to miss him also a couple of weeks ago because there was a death in his family, so he wasn't able to be with us. This is Elaine Ireland going global for spirit on bbsradio.com, but you know that. The number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet worldwide. Please call in at 877-489-6350. Canada and the United States, you share the number of 1-888-228-4494. What has your harvest been this week? Break it down daily. What is your harvest? Joy, kindness, more hard work? Some people thrive on hard work. They're not afraid of hard work, whatever hard work means to them. You know, a banker can do a lot of hard work. I'm not a banker, so I couldn't tell you what it is, but I have banker clients, and there's a lot of stress in money, and that's what it is, money and people. That's what one manager told me. It's all about money, people and their money, and he grinned real big, and he said, and how that money affects them, and, of course, family. What did you harvest with your family this week? What will you next week? Put on your harvest cap. Are we going to create negative karma? You know, I ask that, but it's hard to tell sometimes what we're creating and sometimes what we've cleared up. If you have a thought about that, give me a call. How do we know when we've started the ball rolling in terms of negative karma? How do we know that the wreck we caused was because that person needed us to hit them? Or did we need the experience of having to deal with the police, which can be difficult, sometimes safe? What was it? Sometimes it's years before we know why things happen. Because I'm a firm believer, and you don't have to agree with me, certainly. I'm a firm believer that everything that happens, right down to the smile that you exchange at the grocery store with somebody in the aisle, there's a reason for it. Somebody stops and offers assistance. It's more than just them being a good employee. It's a direct hit at you. And how you react to that person is the direct hit. Do we accept their graciousness, or are we tacky with them? And how do we know that tacky is not what we need to be? See, gosh, my head can get going. But it's valid. If you believe in the word karma and the energy that surrounds it, everything I've just questioned is valid. We don't always know. Sometimes, but not 100%, sometimes we walk away, or we come home that night and we go over, we close our doors, and in the privacy of our own living room, we think about our day, and yes, you do it, whether you consciously realize it or not, and for just maybe a split of a hair of a split second, we will know whether that smile was, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with that person. I'm done with that spirit. I don't need to do anything else. But I will continue to smile at them if they smile at me, because it's okay now. I don't have to. I can. Or I don't need any more wrecks for the next 50 years because I've had my wreck experience. And I had my wreck experience with somebody who was at least pleasant about it. They didn't try to kill me on the scene. You know, so after we give thought to something, we may very well figure out, okay, I'm done, or, oh my God, I'm going to owe that person so much. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a business deal with a minor business deal. The lady sold some books for me on the internet. Got a small check, but for some reason, she didn't get all of her checks deposited in time, and so this little bitty check bounced, and my bank charged me their fee, which they don't normally do. But because in the same week, I had the same situation with a much larger check, they charged me. Of course, it was all reversed. But now this lady feels like she owes me the monetary value. In addition to, she's embarrassed. She was afraid I'd never do business with her again, which was silly. I mean, it was just one of those maybe split-second things where money's hit the bank and the check didn't go through on the same time. It was just one of those silly things. It'll never happen again. But what's interesting about this was we were strangers to one another. So what karmically, what is it that maybe she owes me monetarily for a little bitty check that's going to cost 6 or 7 times more than that, more than the value of that check? And is it I'm supposed to be gracious to her? Was it set up because I needed to be kind to her? But now she feels like she owes me 10 times more than she does, which I don't think at all. I wasn't worried about it to begin with. When I saw what had happened, I figured that because it's happened to me, you can deposit tons of money, cash, and still have something bounce if the timing is off. So I wasn't worried about it. I called her, emailed her, we did it. But she still feels bad, and I don't want her to feel bad. So I had to really stop and think about, okay, why is this happening? This is just such a fluke. And twice in 1 week with the same situation, except the other check was sizable. You know, and they didn't do a chargeback on that check. They only did a chargeback on the little one, but it was the second one. So, you know, what was that all about? Most of these ladies are strangers. One's halfway around the world. The other one's practically in my backyard. And do the three of us have some past something that's going on that now we're clearing up? see, we have to figure out, are we done with that, or are they done with us, or what next? If you have an answer to that, or you want to join the conversation with myself here, call me. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, you share that number, 1-888-228-4494. We're talking about harvesting, karma, rewards. We've gone through some of the tarot cards that talk about harvesting, probably not all of them. And if you have one you'd like to share with me, by all means, if you didn't catch the first part of the show, that's okay, call anyway, and tell me what your harvest is, and what will you work on for next week, or tomorrow. You know, if there's been something that's been sticking in your craw, as they say here in Texas, maybe you need to work on that tomorrow. Even if it's just mentally working on it, trying to figure out what your next step would be. Because we plant a seed, and then we get a sprout, and then we get leaves, and maybe we get a bud, depending on what it is. So start with the thought, what's your next harvest? Keep it simple. You don't have to grow the whole acre of corn here. Just keep it simple. Start with something that you know you can do. And then maybe the next day, start with something that's a little more difficult. And the third day, reach for the impossible. What is this saying? Reach for the stars, or reach for the moon. Reach for the moon, and if you slide, at least you'll land among the stars or something like that. If you know that one, call me and tell me too. I'd love to know that. How many of you out there are tired? Just plain tired. Anywhere from it's been a long day and I've cooked and I've fed the kids and I've got them to bed and now it's time for me to go to bed and I'm numb. Now I have passed, tired. I'm almost afraid I'm getting my second wind, because if I get my second wind, that means I won't be asleep until midnight and I have to get up at 5 and do this all again. What is your harvest with that kind of day? Did you stand in the doorway and watch your kids sleep, even though they've been little hellions all evening? What did you do? What kind of harvest did you make today? What are your plans for tomorrow? When you get up in the morning, is it always hectic? Well, it is for most people. Even if they're single, you can still leave the house late. Maybe you try to do too much, or maybe you got up too late. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do for a living, how many people in your family. You have several kinds of harvests to work on. Your personal spiritual growth, doing something good for yourself every day, allowing yourself to enjoy your work, and if you don't, find something else to do. Life is too short. I'll leave you with that thought. Life is too short to do what you don't like to do every day. And yes, it's really easy for that prison card to crop up. It's really easy to allow ourselves to get stuck. I have a really dear friend who's choking on the last 3 years before she gets to retire. But by gosh, she's going to stay with the state for 3 more years. And she can't change positions. She has to stay exactly where she is. She hasn't liked her job for 10 years or more. So she does yoga every day. She gets up in the morning and does 30 minutes. That starts her day, and she goes and does yoga and exercises every single day after work. That's her gift to herself. So if you can make yourself do something for yourself, and if that's something for your family, like taking them to a silly restaurant once in a while, that's for you because you get to see them enjoy it. And then do something for you. Your yoga, whatever. Find something, a movie every now. Doesn't matter. Hot cup of tea. Glass of wine with a friend. Doesn't matter. Something for yourself. Be kind to yourself. That will help you harvest positive every day. Every day. This is Elaine Ireland. We've been going global for spirit. Sorry nobody called in tonight. I would love to have heard your voices. I would love for Spirit to have come through and helped you. Please join us next week. actually have a guest next week, Melissa Alvarez. Please join us. She's just full of all kinds of information. This is going to be fun. She raises horses, she publishes, she writes, she does Celtic work, she mentors, she does all kinds of fun things. So she's going to come share her knowledge and her energy and her spirit with us. So call in, listen in. You know, you can always go back and find these on archived on bbsradio.com. All of the shows on bbsradio.com on all of the channels are harvested, are archived. Sometimes it takes a little while to get them. I don't know if you could tune in 2 or 3 hours from now and find it archived. I've never tried to do that, but they are eventually, and I know at one time they had some problems archiving, period. But it's supposed to all be worked out now. So check out the other shows on bbsradio.com on all channels. They have a fabulous group of music workers, so and people who donate to the music radio section. But Station 1 and Station 2, we're growing by leaps and bounds with wonderful topics, so check them all out. In the meantime, don't forget to share a smile this week with somebody, and thank you for being with me, and I hope you will be with me next week. Good night, world.